You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolensky and Wes Boss.
Okay, I think we've managed to do the furniture moving in record time. I'll be honest, that would have been a whole lot quicker had Wes and Scott not demanded that we got them a shrubbery. It was a deal breaker, I'll be honest. I'm so excited about this as the way to finish the day. When we first talked about doing Jamstack Conf, we spoke to Wes and Scott really soon and said, you know, would you be prepared to come and record one of your podcasts live here? Apart from anything else, Wes and Scott on Syntax FM have just been incredibly supportive for Netlify. Netlify sponsored the podcast for a little while. And the thing that's just been amazing to us is not just how many people have discovered Netlify through Syntax FM, but how loud they are. When they find it, they're like shouting to the world, not only that they found it, but they found it through Syntax FM. They're very, very vocal user base. It's really exciting. We had several talks throughout the day that have kind of touched on education. Quincy Larson, just a moment ago, really inspiring stuff, talking about his mission to spread education about coding. It fits so nicely that we've got Wes and Scott both here, because Wes Boss is just another one of these annoyingly prolific people who just like churns out, it doesn't just churn out content, it's so good, like learning all kinds of things about development, really prolific. It's just like a go-to resource from Wes Boss. And then Scott Tolensky is just the same, you know, with his tutorials are just all over the web, really, really good quality. And somehow how long have you been doing Syntax FM? About a year and a half they've been doing this podcast, and they never met until we brought them together. So there was a couple of hours. I can't decide if that's pride or bile rising. It's a lovely moment. So we're just so excited to have them here. I think we're going to have lots of fun hearing from them. I think there might be microphones in the audience at some point. So brace yourself. Please get involved. Give them a huge round of applause. Scott Tolensky and Wes Boss, everyone.
Not going to miss that.
All right. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Good to see everyone. Just going to get... This is between two ferns with Wes and Scott.
Yeah.
This is really weird because we've never like met. And also have never recorded in person, let alone being in front of many hundreds of people. But we're really excited to be here. So thanks so much for coming on out. So for those who don't know, we are a podcast called Syntax. We're available at syntax.fm. We do web development. We talk about web development twice a week. So on Mondays, we have this thing called Hasty Treats, which is a dumb way of saying it's a small podcast. Usually it's like 20, 25 minutes. We were hoping it would be like 12 minutes, but sometimes they're like 45 minutes. And then on Wednesdays?
Yeah, on Wednesdays we have Tasty Treats, which is also a dumb way to say a longer podcast, which is where we take an individual topic and spread it out over the course of about an hour or so. Depends. Yeah, sometimes a little bit longer as well. But, you know, we don't like to limit.
Totally. So we are, sorry, nope, that's wrong.
Yeah, we are not Scott Tolensky.
By the way, Adam, cut that out.
Yeah.
We have an editor named Adam, and we may sound like we're very good at podcasting, but we're not, and Adam cuts everything out, so we might have a couple little, Adam, cut that out.
Yeah. My name is Scott Tolensky. I'm a web developer. I'm from Denver, Colorado. You can find me at S. Tolensky on Twitter, Instagram. I'm also at Level Up Tuts or Level Up Tutorials all over the web, on YouTube, Instagram, all that good stuff.
My name is Wes. I build web development courses. Most recently released one on Advanced React. Anyone ever taken one of my courses before? Awesome. I'm from Canada, which is why I say JavaScript funny. And I apologize for that. I'm at Wes Boss on Twitter and Instagram. So we're here at Jamstack Conf, which you obviously know, but there's 30,000 other people listening to this podcast right now that don't know that maybe we're at a conference right now. And Jamstack stands for JavaScript APIs and Markup, and we've seen some amazing talks today that really dove into, I think, what the future of web development is going to be looking at.
Yeah, and speaking of Jamstack, this conference is sponsored by Netlify. Now, Netlify is not only an excellent podcast or an excellent host for your website, they're also an excellent host of this conference and everything. So we both love, I know you've listened to the podcast at all, you realize how much we both love Netlify so much. I personally host everything that I can at Netlify. Anything, anytime you need front-end code, but not just front-end code, because you have access to the serverless functions, you have access to the content form, you have access to identity, all that good stuff. If you need a host, seriously, the first place you should be looking is Netlify. And I mean, if you know me or have listened to the podcast at all, then you would know that I'm not saying that because they're a sponsor. I truly love this service. So thank you so much for Netlify for sponsoring today's episode of Syntax.
How many of you do listen to the podcast? Awesome.
Oh, dang.
So how many of you were excited to see a Scott ad transition in person? So today, what are we going to do today? We're pretty much just going to goof around for an hour, and then that's the end of the conference. No, really, we're going to break it down into a couple things. We're going to start with what we call spicy jam tips, some hot tips for building Jamstack applications.
Then we have a game that we're calling This, That, or Both. And I think you are all going to have a ton of fun with this. We were cracking up when we were making this. So this is I'm excited for
we
this
We think
one.
It's funny. Hopefully you do. Then we're going to play Stumped. This is something we do on the podcast where Scott and I try to answer interview questions without any sort of preparation. We usually fail horribly. So this time, instead of embarrassing ourselves, we're going to ask you from the members, a couple of brave souls, to come on up. We'll ask you some tricky JavaScript or web development related questions, and we've got some pretty sweet prizes.
Yeah, prizes. After that, we have Underrated or Overrated, or Overrated or Underrated, which is a segment that we're going to be talking about some maybe new stuff, fun stuff, or just funny stuff, and we're going to maybe discuss a little bit whether or not we think it's underrated or overrated.
Finally, we're going to wrap it up with a Q&A with Scott and Wes. Thank you. Man, that makes me feel so good. All right, so let's get into the first section, which is spicy jam tips. These are some hot tips for getting started with the Jamstack. We just kind of came up with overbuilding apps over the last couple of years. Here's a couple little hot, tasty tips that we've been working with. First one that I have is set your auth tokens by default. So something that happens in your application when you want to ping one of your services, often what will need to happen is you'll need to like reach into local storage or somewhere else and grab your API key or your JWT or your bearer token and then send that along for the ride with your request. So whether you're using Apollo or Axios or any other sort of like fetching library, you can usually, in these, you can set it up so that every single request will automatically grab that token and send it along for the ride, so you don't have to do that in every single request. It's a small thing, but it really cuts down on how much code you need to write on every request.
Yeah, next, I would say a lot of times when people first hear Jamstack, they maybe go towards static or static sites. And even the static sites that you might build with the Jamstack, I think people maybe corner themselves into this static territory. But not only can static sites be as dynamic as you need them, but really working with the Jamstack can be as large as you need it to be. I mean, it's not for small projects, quick projects. It's for any project, especially things that you're working with outside APIs and just need to be as fast as possible.
Next one is don't wait to use new tech. So sometimes we talk about all of this new exciting. This is not necessarily just Jamstack, but it's really important to figure out how do we progressively enhance where we can make the experience better for people who do have these newer browsers, or how do we fall back and gracefully degrade where is needed.
The next is, there are many Jamstack libraries in the sea. I mean, really, the idea here is that there's a ton of stuff around the Jamstack. So if you've only experienced one particular library or one particular platform, even if you're not comfortable in other areas or other platforms, venture out and see what else is out there and try different things and really just see what works best for you. Because sometimes you might pick something up because it's the first library platform that you've used. But in reality, there might be one that you're even faster with, or maybe it connects you in a better way. So feel free, if you have small projects or whatever, try them out. Try out a whole bunch of different stuff, because there's so much great stuff around the Jamstack ecosystem.
along with trying stuff out, is side projects. I think it's a key to both learning, because it's intimidating to take on this new tech, especially if you're trying to like stick your neck out and suggest to other people on your team, this is what we should use. It can be hard to convince other people. We've always done it this way. There's nothing wrong with this way. Why would we need to move it over? So I always recommend people just build a couple little side projects so you have something to show, and when you're going into much larger, potentially client projects, you're gonna feel a lot more comfortable with it.
Cool. All right. Now, I'm really excited for this.
This is
a segment that we're calling This, That, or Both. To give you a little bit of heads up what this is.
So we are going to give you the name of a possible web development library or framework.
And you, I'll get to vote on whether or not it's real or we're just pulling your leg. So head on over to...
Take your phone out.
Yeah. pigeonhole.at/tasty, and you're gonna be able to vote as we go here, and then we'll have all of the results live on the screen here so we can see what everybody is thinking.
So once you go to that, there's gonna be a This, That, or Both. Click on to that, click through to that. There we go. 5 people, 11 people, 12 people.
There we go.
You figured it out.
Climbing. Cool.
I don't know how long we need to wait. We'll see.
What
are we going to get to?
We'll wait till it stops increasing. This might be time for an NBA Jam joke.
Okay. What do you got for me?
I didn't write one.
So when
I didn't write one, yeah.
When we first talked about this, Scott got his notebook open and is like, I don't know what we're going to talk about at Jamstack, but I need to have an NBA Jam joke.
Yeah. The very first note I wrote was make NBA Jam joke. And then last night I was like, huh, I really need to come up with an NBA Jam joke.
Oh, we hit 100.
Aye.
Now we're dipping. All right, I think that's good. Let's start her off, Scott.
Can people still join as it goes?
Yes. Yeah, people can still join.
Okay. All right. Well, whoa, still climbing. All right, let's start this quiz. The first one is Evo RX.
Is it a high-end carbon fiber road bike?
Or a Redux lib for asynchronous and event-based operations? We'll give you a couple of seconds here.
Oh man, 140 people in?
Yeah.
Oh, it tells you how many votes there are,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a lot of votes are climbing.
Get your votes in.
Get your votes in. Is it a high-end carbon fiber road bike or a Redux library for asynchronous and event-based operations, or both? I guess we
it can be. Most of these will have an option for both if they are both. All right, I think that's good. Let's see. It is a high-end carbon fiber road bike, 66.6%. Good job. All right, next one.
Next one.
Jumpsuit. Is it a rap rock group from Flint, Michigan?
Or a minimal React and Redux framework, or both?
I'm really impressed at that last one everyone got, or 66% of you. All right, let's see it.
All right, going to reveal. Get your votes in. A minimal React and Redux framework.
So 60% voted both, but the correct answer was only 26% of you knew that it was a minimal React Redux framework. So that would be an awesome rap rock group.
It's a perfect name. Ideal name. Next one is Aphrodite. Is it a React styling library?
Or a best-selling erotic novel? One of the prizes is actually a copy of the novel signed by me.
All right.
All right. Let's see it.
Revealing.
Oh!
Now, to be fair, there's very likely a chance that this is actually an erotic novel as well.
For those following along at home, 58% of you voted both, which was wrong. It's 27% of you voted as a rack styling library. Wow.
All right, next.
Next is Yugo. Is it a static site generator built in OCaml?
Or is it a mini hatchback built in the former Yugoslavia? Get your votes in.
All right, what do we got?
Revealing the answer. All right.
It's a winner.
It's a winner.
A winner. So 46% of you correctly guessed that it is a mini hatchback built in the former Yugoslavia, which is true.
All right, number five. We have C Control. Is this a modern state management library for web components?
Or is it a studio headphone mixer?
Or both.
Or both.
All right, lock those votes in. Here we go. Oh, yeah, 48%
correctly guessed it's a studio headphone mixer.
Correct.
Good job.
Number six.
Next is the Yakback. Is it a recordable HTTP testing interface?
A popular 90s electronic toy.
Or both.
Or both. All right, ready for the reveal. Oh!
Incorrect. So it is both. Most of you knew that it was the electronic toy. Who had a Yak back when they were a kid? Yeah, wasn't that so much fun? But it also is a recordable HTTP testing interface.
Also, yes. All right, next one. Juice, and this is spelled J-O-O-S-E for those of you playing at home. Is this a East Coast juice bar with six locations?
Is it a meta object system for JavaScript?
Or a popular Instagram vape daddy?
Wait, he's got over 600,000 followers.
Or all three. Juice. All right, lock those votes in. Here we go.
This is probably the biggest upset ever.
Big upset.
So only 15% of you did it right, which was a meta object system for JavaScript. 20% of you thought it was a vape daddy from Instagram. Oh, and most of you thought it was all three.
I had to Google this wasn't an actual juice bar before we did this because I was not convinced. Next, we have Easy Router.
Is it a client-side, object-oriented router written in vanilla JavaScript?
Or a drain cleaning apparatus popular amongst local plumbers?
Oh, some of these I'm just like, what is it? I'm glad we have the right answer on here.
I know. Yeah, when we went back through this afterwards and we were trying to bold the right answers, and some of them I was just like, I'm going to let Wes do this
one
because I don't know the
daddy?
Right answer.
All right, what do we got?
All righty. Revealing this answer. Oh!
50% of you guessed correctly, a drain cleaning apparatus. I thought router would be like very tricky because it's object oriented. So instead of having
double O,
there. Yeah. If you want to make an object oriented router, please go ahead and.
Yeah, I think it's an open namespace.
Yeah, it totally is.
Okay, next. Okay.
We got Aqueduct. Is it a server rendered ORM and OAuth 2.0 based framework built in Dart?
Or is it an early 2000s pop group hailing from Venice Beach? Okay, let's see. All right,
let's
get those votes in. Ready to reveal.
Oh, surprise! So it is a server-rendered ORM and OAuth 2.0 based framework built in Dart. 54%. Has anyone ever used that? No one. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number 10, Gort. Is this a 1980s animated cartoon series villain?
Or is it a CLI toolkit for RoboOps written in Go?
Or both. This is a tricky one. All right, lock those votes in. Here it comes. Oh!
Hold on.
Yes, there is a caveat here. Gort is apparently a transformer, but it's one of the Autobots. It's one of the good guys.
I don't know what
it's not a villain. I found that after Googling it. It was like, yeah, not a villain.
So 50% of you guess both, which is incorrect. And then second place, 26% of you, CLI toolkit for RoboOps written in Go.
Robot.
Robot. What did I say?
Robo?
Adam, cut that out.
Cut it out, yeah. Yep. All right.
Last one we have is Raptorize. Is it a jQuery plugin for playing a Velociraptor Screech?
Or a popular DIY spray-on truck bedliner?
This is the last one. Don't drop the ball here.
Yeah. Your last chance. Last chance to
all
get right, it
right. All
right,
what do we got?
Ready?
Ooh. Ooh, this is the closest it's one we've had.
It's a tight race.
So correct at 37.8%. Most of you guessed it is, yes, a jQuery plugin for playing Velociraptor Screech. but 29 and 33% of you thought it was either both or a popular DIY spray-on truck bedliner. That's great.
Thank you so much for playing. We had a ton of fun making this, so I hope everyone had a blast.
I probably could have just done an hour of this.
Yeah.
All right, so now we need your participation. We're going to play Stumped, and if you're interested in winning a sticker pack with 18 web development stickers, a GitHub Hubot,
Every winner gets a Level Up Tutorials t-shirt here. So
come on up, start lining up right here. They're not that hard. We're not going to embarrass you.
We might embarrass you.
Come on, line up. Yeah, we got a couple.
Maybe you'll get lucky. Get an easy one.
There we go.
Beauty.
All right, line on up. Can we grab a microphone?
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 6 questions, and if someone gets it wrong, we're just going to bring the next one up. So come on up. First one, what's your name?
Cam.
All right, Cam, you ready for your question? Question number 1. We have this JavaScript code. Let age equals 26. Age / equals 2. Console log age. What does age console log to be? No, incorrect. Next one up. Thank you for trying. Give this one a shot?
Or should we have somebody just raise their hand who knows it for these?
Yeah, maybe we should go to
that. That way we don't just burn through the line.
Okay, good. Who in the audience knows it? Yell it out. Yeah.
13.
Nailed it. Did you know? I did not know this until last week. In JavaScript, I'm looking for the screen. It's not right there. In JavaScript, the plus equals, also you can do minus equals and times equals, and it's, you're mutating the variable. It's probably not a good idea, but I thought it was kind of a neat little tricky one. Awesome. What's your name?
My name's Tom.
Tom, question number 2.
Name all 7 types in JavaScript.
Number, string, Boolean. Symbol.
That's the one everyone forgets. Good.
Null. Undefined. And there's 7?
Don't say it.
Object.
Object, you did it! Woo! Good job, Tom.
I should say, for the t-shirts, I don't have them here. I'll ship them out. So after, come find me, get your address, we'll ship out the t-shirts.
It's funny because we wrote that question and I couldn't even remember them all. So I had to look it up to write it. What's your name?
Amir.
Amir. Question number 3. Pronounce this word.
Should I pronounce it the right way or the way you pronounce it?
The right way.
Specificity.
Whoa! Yeah! Specificity?
Oh my god.
Specificity.
Specificity.
I got
it, man.
Possible.
I'm on board.
I can't. I can't say it. Specificity. No. All right, next one up. What's your name?
I have that question.
Yeah.
Neil.
Neil, question number four. What is event delegation and when might you use it?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this wrong just for fun. What is event delegation? You might want to use event delegation for, I guess, clicks and whatnot on the page, or you want to delegate certain events on the page.
But why would you not listen to an event directly on an element, but delegate it?
Oh, okay. In case you want to dynamically create the elements on the page.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding. Awesome job. Woo. There's your stickers.
All right.
That was good.
What do we got next?
What's your name?
Hey, my name is Adam.
Adam. Hey, question Adam. Number five.
All right. What is CSS at supports for?
This was a mistake. If I had to guess, though, probably something to do with supporting older browsers, potentially, that don't have newer features.
What do you think?
It's close.
Audience, should we give it to him? Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's like it's kind of like a media query for features. You can test if the features are available on a browser.
Yeah.
Beautiful. There you go. Yeah. Good job. All right. I think this is the last one. Is it? I don't know. I don't even know what we're doing here.
We might have like.
What's your name?
I'm Soren.
Soren. We've got this function here. You'll have to look on here.
Okay.
Const calc all equals. It's an arrow function that is empty. And then below it, I have calc all, I just pass it one. And then I have calc all, I pass it like six or seven arguments. How might I modify this calc all function to accept any number of arguments passed?
Using the spread operator to spread the number. So kind of however, almost like spread arg, so it just splits them all out.
A spread? We should give it to him because Scott did this too.
I did this too. I always
Scott did this too.
I'm so backwards.
Am I getting it backwards?
Yes.
Is it the other way around?
What is it called? Starts with an R.
It does. You're close.
Rest. There we go. We'll give it to him because it's the same three dots. Why is it doing different things? Give him a round of applause for that one.
All right.
That's how you would do it. And the reason why I did that, does someone else have another solution to that? Yeah? Array from arguments, but that wouldn't work because arrow functions don't have an arguments object.
See, you're tricky. All right, number seven.
What's your name?
Tina.
Hey,
awesome.
Tina.
Tina.
What is the difference between slice and splice?
Slice allows you to select a portion of an array, for example, whereas splice allows you to do the former plus put something in at a specific point and rejoin it.
Put something in?
Into the array.
Into the new array.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes?
So I have mutation.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a mutation. So
you were listening for the word mutation and then like not anything.
Yeah,
else.
I wasn't listening. All right, sorry. Awesome. Good job. Nailed it. Oh, sorry. Not even a hesitation there. Beautiful. Oh, we got one more. Who else wants to do another one?
Yeah. All right. Question number eight. What's your name?
Josh.
Hey, Josh. How would you calculate the number of milliseconds since midnight of January 1st, 1970?
I'm not sure if this, is this a trick question? Is this when the GDT started?
It's a trick question.
I told you this would make people mad.
I know there's some date around that time where time started in computer language.
When God created the earth.
Right, when mankind created machine time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You would...
Yeah.
New time?
New time? Close. That's not milliseconds. Yeah. Convert date to no. That wouldn't give it... Yeah.
Date.now plus one.
Date.now. I don't think plus one. Is it plus one?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never.
Not now. I looked it up in the MDN. Okay. You can have some stickers anyway. Awesome. Awesome. Oh, one more. Who's got it?
I'm laughing that you forgot how many questions
I don't know what we're doing.
I told you.
Is this the last one?
I don't know.
This is the last one. So what was your name?
Veronica.
Veronica. So we've got this right here. Const age equals console.log 100 or 200. Console.log age. What does age console log and why? Or if you just want to take a 50-50 guess.
Well, I would think that it's 100 because it's first.
All right, let's see. That would make sense. Oh, there's no answer to it. The answer is 200. And the reasoning is because console.log will return nothing, which is falsy, which will then make the OR fall back to 200. And it's kind of a little trick that we use in React land to console log in implicit returns. So it's a bit of an obtuse knowledge. So great job. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much for anyone who came up there and put yourselves out there like that.
I don't think that I would have done that.
Yeah, likewise. No. Yeah. Although we have an episode of Stumped coming out, I think, in a week or so, and I think I get every question wrong, and they're all really easy. So,
Interview questions are weird. All right, now we're going to a section called Overrated or Underrated. This is where Scott and I will give our own opinions on if things are overrated or underrated and why. So the first one is arrow functions. Overrated or underrated?
I don't know. I mean, they're rated. They're rated highly.
They're rated?
I they could be.
That's not the game.
I know. They could be considered underrated because I love them. I think sometimes people might get hung up on maybe the implicit returns and whether or not that's the easiest way to read things. But personally, I love that easy return. I love the shorter syntax. I love how it handles this. Me personally, I'm reaching for an arrow function most of the time, and I would say they're underrated. I love arrow functions. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say underrated. They're really good. You don't have to reach them for them like by default or all the time. Just know when to use them, and they're a really helpful tool in JavaScript.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have downtown scooters. Overrated or underrated?
I'm gonna say underrated. I've never ridden one, but I see these startup boys whizzing around on them and downtown, and it seems super fun. I wanna take one off some jumps, maybe later after we have some beers, and it just seems like a cool solution to a transportation problem that a lot of cities have. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I also have not ridden one, but everyone always looks like they're having a lot of fun on them. Like, you see them zooming down, they're like, oh, I'm having a great time. Like. Yeah, obviously underrated too. They're cool. Yeah, they're sick.
Next one. All right, I guess this one.
Using Sass inside of styled components.
I'm going to say this is overrated. So you can use Sass inside of styled components, but styled components itself has all of the features, all of the nested selectors, variables, things like that. I think the only use case for it is if you have an existing Sass code base, you're trying to move it over to styled components, you don't want to rewrite the entire thing, you can put them in there for now. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm of the same idea there, yeah. I mean, you have all that stuff. JavaScript is very powerful anyway, so I personally would not reach for Sass inside of style.
It's an entire programming language inside of your CSS.
It's amazing.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. We should just put everything in JavaScript.
Everything should be in JavaScript.
Yeah. Okay, so websites that play sound in the interface.
You're going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say underrated. It's a very, it can be very terribly done, but if tastefully done, if done well, if it's used to alert the user that something is happening or give some sort of additional feedback, I think it can be done well. Think about the vibration on your iPhone when something happens. How nice is that as an extra piece of information that something's happening. I think sound can be used for that as well.
You know, I'm of the same opinion, which is a controversial opinion, but like, I think with the user's consent that you're going to be playing audio, don't just like start blasting like techno tunes, like
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like in the background of their site. I mean, it's another sense that we need to explore a little bit more in interfaces, but like, again, it has to be done right. If you do it, if you just put a whole bunch of seasoning on that in that soup or something, you're gonna ruin it. So I'll send a Level Up t-shirt to the first person who does a pull request to add like a boop button on any of the sounds on any of the buttons on Syntax.
Yeah, that would be really nice. Like a on mouse down and on mouse up, so it's like doo, 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 doo. But it has to be that, like, somebody take the audio from the podcast and add it to all of the buttons on the thing.
Oh yeah, the sound,
and then
the soundboard.
When you scroll, it goes woo, 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 woo.
So. When you click to play that, yeah. Sick.
What else do we want? Let's just add our feature.
Just turn it into a
sick.
We might nice. Change our opinion on this answer.
Nice choice. overrated or underrated? Stress over new JavaScript frameworks.
Yeah, I think this is overrated because like it's like. Are you gonna complain about having too many cookies? Like, there's lots of stuff here. There's so much that you can pick and choose whichever one you want. You don't have to use all of the frameworks. You can use one and be good at it. And if there's iterations, there's a whole lot of different stuff. Then I'm of the mind that like excellence is born through iteration and mm-hmm. constantly creating things and stuff like that. So by all means, create another one. No one has to use it.
There's some really smart people out there that are trying to like, they're looking at our frameworks and be like, huh, I think I could do that better. I think I could approach it in a different way and let them do their thing. And if it catches on, then great. We'll all be using that in 5 years and our websites will be better for it.
I guess also support current ones too. If you like the ones, like,
yeah, obviously. Yeah. Also, if you like the one that you're using,
I don't want to say like if you have beef, just instantly jump ship.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, don't just make your own because we've been there before. Too.
Sorry, additional note there.
GraphQL, overrated, underrated?
I did the last one. I was supposed to ask you this.
Okay, you asked me.
Okay,
Adam, cut that out.
Yeah, cut. GraphQL, is it underrated or overrated?
I'm going to say underrated. GraphQL has a bit of a barrier to entry. Some people don't immediately see why they might need something like that. But once you get past setting it up, there's a lot of really great tools being built right now, which takes that barrier to entry just all the way away. And I think once you're in it, you start singing the praises of it. I'm really excited for what GraphQL is going to do in the next couple of years.
Yeah. For those of you who listen to the podcast, you probably know I'm a huge fan. I'm going to say it's underrated too. Once you crack that hard candy shell, you get into that chocolate. There's a little bit of a learning curve. I'm not hungry, by the way. I've got like three food metaphors going on here.
Someone's bringing this guy a chocolate bar or something.
Yeah, I'm not hungry. But no, I love GraphQL. I think it's underrated. I think we're just going to continue to see everything around GraphQL get better and better and better as more and more take hold of it, and you just see it more places. I use it personally, love it, can't get enough of it. All right, ES6 destructuring.
I'm gonna say underrated. There's a bit of, not hate, but people don't necessarily like it because of the added syntax that it adds. And if you don't know what it's doing, if you're trying to destructure some arguments of a function, or you're trying to destructure some properties off of an object, or you're destructuring some values out of an array, there's just a lot of new syntax. And sometimes it's hard to just look at what's happening in your JavaScript code to understand. So if it takes you longer to look at it than the regular JavaScript way, then probably not worth it. But I think in a lot of use cases, it can really clean up our code.
Yeah, I think a lot myself, like many other people, when they looked at it at first, they were like, I don't think this looks as clear to me as seeing the argument right there, the parameter right there. Like, but once you use it, and once you get used to it, once you get acclimated, mm-hmm. I can't live without it. I honestly can't live without it. Love it.
CSS Houdini, underrated, overrated?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, CSS Houdini is basically a way that you can write custom properties in CSS using JavaScript and CSS. It's coming. It's gonna be the new hotness, in my opinion.
It kind of like uses the Canvas API, so you could be like display triangle, rotate Scott, and like the text will just like wrap itself around the outline of Scott's body. Like, you could just make up stuff in CSS with Houdini, and then you just write the how to paint it. You get access to the browser's low-level API painting.
I think it's underrated.
Yeah.
And I think CSS Houdini is going to have to call in sick to work, because it is too sick. It is way too sick. And I'm a huge, huge fan, and I can't wait to see
more. I think it's underrated as well. People always complain about how CSS works. And once we have CSS Houdini, we're just going to be like, write your own then.
I saw there's like a CSS Houdini gallery, and like one of the things was like a highlighter. And the highlighter had all sorts of different properties, like a selection highlighter behind it. And you could choose like how dry the highlighter was. And it was so awesome.
Wow.
I was just like, this is so cool. I'm going to use it.
You like, you get your selector, highlighter-dryness,
yeah.
40 drops.
Yeah, whatever. And they had little sliders. You could try it out. It was great.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Service workers and offline applications.
I'm going to say underrated, because I think we take for granted speed and always being connected and all of that stuff, where the reality is a lot of people, whether you're in different countries or even you're just taking the subway, where you go offline and online, you have flaky internet connection. It's the worst when you can't access the thing. So just a couple lines of code, at the very minimum, you can make your entire website cached so that someone's coming back to it when they're in offline mode, they'll be able to still read the content that's on your site.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think it's actually funny that we agree on all of these.
When we made haven't this, disagreed yet.
Yeah, I think that's why the podcast works, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we weren't like, no, that's overrated, underrated. No, we didn't argue about any of these. I think we maybe should have added some that we argued about. But
I
agree, man. This
US.
Is underrated. You know, service workers and offline applications, it's one of those things that it's easy to be in the United States and have, like, fast internet. I have, like, gigabit internet at home, and, like, I just totally forget what the internet's like in the rest of the world. So this kind of thing is just such a huge, important aspect of web development in general, to make our sites more accessible to everyone. The offline stuff is just, I think that's an aspect of web that's just going to continue to grow and become more and more important as the tools become more and more utilized throughout the industry. Yeah, big fan.
Final one is optional chaining proposal. So this is a proposal to JavaScript that will allow you to deep check properties inside of an object where you don't have to check all the way along. So if you've ever had that like cannot read property blah, blah, blah of undefined, that will become a thing of the past with this new syntax where you put a question mark after everyone and it will first check if that property is there before it keeps going. Highly underrated. Obviously, I'm super excited. This is the last thing from CoffeeScript that I miss. What about you?
Yeah, I think this is so underrated. Again, I love this thing. I gotta have it. In fact, I'm gonna like go install this in the Babel plugin for this in my repo right after we get off. So I'm gonna just hack it in there right now. I like can't wait to just start using this, because honestly, who loves to use whatever you're pulling in has from Lodash or people and Wes and names and whatever, you know, like. I don't know. That's
no way to live your life.
Yeah, too sick. It's no way to live your life. Yeah,
it's not.
Too sick.
All right, what are we? Oh, we got like 20 minutes left. We're doing pretty good here. All right.
Yeah, we're cruising the USA.
So now we're gonna have some Q&A with Scott and Wes. So on the podcast, we like to call this a potluck, where you bring the questions and we will attempt to answer them. So we got some mic runners running around. I got another one right here. If you wanna just put your hand up and go ahead and ask us some questions. Nothing like those interview questions, though. That would be too hard.
Yeah, that's a caveat.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Thank
how are
you for this entertaining talk. And my first question is, since you guys met each other first, what was the thing that was like, wow, I was not expecting that from him? Or like, I thought it was different, but now that I saw, I don't know. I mean, anything, you know?
Wes had really reflective sunglasses on. I was like, wow, those sunglasses are really reflective.
I don't think there was anything about Scott that I didn't expect, because we talk on Zoom for like what three and a half hours every single week, and
maybe you don't see how much I move around.
He's true. He's a very antsy guy, trying to do beep bops and flips, and Scott's a break dancer, if you don't know. So after this, we will. We'll have a competition, me versus Scott.
Oh, yeah. I'll sign up for that.
Next question. Yeah. One right here. Grab the mic.
If there's any tycoon game you could create, which one would you create?
Ooh.
If there's any tycoon game.
Are you familiar with the genre, Wes?
Like Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah, like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
So there's roller. What other kind of tycoons are there?
There's a lot of them.
I would make Sticker Tycoon. And I would be a businessman sailing the world, bringing stickers to all web developers around the world.
Yeah, I would have to do tutorial tycoon where you tutorial have to create one by the end of the day, or else your tutorial shop blows up. Yeah,
and you get and one of like the bad things that will happen is demonetized.
Demonetized.
You're like, oh no, I just spent so long.
YouTube comment made you cry.
Yeah. bad news. React was updated. Everything is now obsolete. That'd be great.
That's good. Yeah.
It's my life, actually. More questions.
Okay, in 2018, how much do you think we should still worry about supporting the no JavaScript experience on some of this stuff?
Oh, good question.
I don't know. I see people complain about, like, I don't have JavaScript turned on and this looks crappy. I'm like, well, how does the rest of the internet look to you? Like, this whole thing must look terrible. Like,
I always want to go off on those, and then someone comes out with like a, but this, like, blind people use this accessible thing, and they're like, do you hate blind people? I'm like, no, but...
The whole idea is to make things as accessible, to make them load as fast as possible. And like, honestly, if you have the server-side rendering going, you have all your accessibility things worked out, and you have all that stuff worked out, I guess it doesn't necessarily matter because it can still work without
JavaScript. Well, things like forms and stuff, like if you've got like React forms, that's not going to work with like a post request to the server. So no, I don't care for people that have JavaScript turned off at all.
Yeah.
So, well, but if you it's a very like.
See, I care a little bit more than you do. But if somebody were to email and be like, I can't use your site without JavaScript, unless it was like a disability thing, I might just hit delete.
Yeah. Well, let's also say like I make JavaScript tutorials for a living. So no one's going to come to me and be like, I don't have JavaScript on. Well, then you can't learn JavaScript. So that's definitely an interesting one. Yeah.
How many spaces do you think should be qualified as a tab?
Oh. Yeah, it's a trick. This is going to be more fiery than the last one.
I use 4 spaces as a tab because it's the same as a tab. Like, that way the spacing's the same.
Yeah. I
set it up like that a few years ago and have never, ever thought about it ever again.
I think 4 is best, but I use 2 because I don't have enough room on my screen when I'm recording tutorials, and I don't have enough room when I'm trying to do pain by pain. Like, it's always at a premium, and then if you use 4, it's like it's way too big. So I use 2 there.
I don't really care. I should say I don't care. And like if someone were to like be like, you need to use this, I might say, whatever. Like it's not going to be like my tab spaces, whatever. It's not going to cause anything to blow up.
We have a whole episode in our list called bike shedding, where we'd spend the entire bike shedding means like. What's the saying? Like, you spend more time worrying about what color to paint the bike shed? Something like that.
Yeah.
Where you just like talk about stuff that doesn't actually matter at all. Like tabs versus spaces. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter all that much. But it's fun to talk about because we're developers. We have to nerd out on that stuff.
Yeah. I will say a GIF or GIF, depending on who I'm talking to, just to appease them. I don't care either way. Because people really care.
We should get
if somebody
the,
says
the
GIF to me, I'll say
up.
GIF back. If somebody says GIF, I'll say GIF back. It's all love. I don't. It's all good.
Yeah.
In the JavaScript world and this Jamstack, where do you guys see the direction of testing and especially integration testing going? And do you think it's important? Do you think it's not important? What are your just opinions on integration testing and this new Jamstack decentralized ecosystem?
Yeah.
I love testing. And like for me, I've been like historically a person that hated testing. And what's changed for me is that the technology around the modern testing stuff has just gotten better and better, in my opinion. So like As far as the Jamstack stuff goes, I would just use Cypress. If you don't know, Cypress.io gives you the visuals. You can see that everything's working, and it's so easy. It's like a jQuery type interface to interact with your site, and you get the browser right there. I think the only drawback to using Cypress was at some point for most of the time they weren't supporting Firefox, but I'm pretty sure that's changed now. So I think, in my opinion, if I was testing a site like a Jamstack site, I might use React testing library to test the components and do just straight up integration testing, never any sort of shallow rendering that way, and then Cypress for like full on end-to-end testing kind of thing. But that's I think the libraries and stuff around testing are the best they've ever been in JavaScript for React apps.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's getting so much easier to test yourself. The fact that we're having these serverless functions that just do one thing, they accept a request, they spit something back out, that's such an easy thing to test.
Yeah.
All of your integration testing with your application, it's easier than ever, and I think also more important than ever, because we're starting to build applications that are much more complex than the things we've built in the years past. One right here? Or is there another one?
We got one over here.
Everyone's heating up now. Yeah, right here? Okay. I don't care. Well, someone just adds.
I feel like we've been pretty hard on this side of the room, so
yeah, this side of the room is much better.
Hey, I was.
No, it's not. You just can't see it because the light's there.
That's true. I'm yeah. blind. Right
blinded
now.
By the light.
Yeah. I was Hello. Wondering what you guys' thoughts are on the new React Hooks API.
It is underrated.
Underrated. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, it's sweet. I don't know that, you know, some people on Twitter are like, well, don't hype it up too much, but like, I don't know, it's really cool. And it's, again, it's just a new way of doing things. And I think we're at like day zero of how cool it's going to be or how useful it's going to be. And give it a couple of months and actually, you know, see how people are using it and see what comes of it. And I think it could be potential to be sick. Yeah,
the hooks in React are really cool because it takes all this like weirdness that surrounded React and classes and state and like initial state and all this like weird stuff, and it makes it just like really, really simple. And like part of React developers are bummed because they've become like drug dealers of this obtuse knowledge. You know? Like all the like binding and the arrow functions and all that stuff. And it's just much easier now, and it's probably how it should have been from the start. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to use them. I just want to try it out. Yeah, I've not done that yet.
Has anyone used hooks yet? No one. One guy. Or maybe he just has a question. Who's got the mics? Oh, yeah, go for it.
Hi. So earlier, Chris Coyer was talking about how serverless functions make it easy for developers, front-end developers, to do a bunch of back-end-y kind of stuff and how it makes us more powerful. Mm. And I'm just wondering if there's any concern that he may have inadvertently unleashed sort of a, you might call it like a serverless function architecture apocalypse.
Hey, sorry, say that, what was it? Any concern that's?
Serverless function architecture apocalypse.
Are we gonna have an apocalypse because of where everything is, you mean? I'm
just
not sure.
That we might end up with these like really complicated architectures with lots of serverless functions talking to other serverless functions to make a commenting app.
Yeah, you can like imagine like being like a, you know, when they like go on a murder movie and they have like Yarn, and they're like, the person was at the 7-Eleven and then they were here, and then that looped into Slack, and then the Slack posted to this thing, and there's 40 services, and it cost me $400 a month to host my own website, right? So yeah, definitely. I think it was important that Chris said it's not the solution all of the time. You have to have the actual problem. I think the biggest thing I hear from people is, okay, I understand what serverless is, but like, why do I need that? And I think it's one of those things, well, you'll know when you need it, because you're gonna be hitting these growing pains, or it's gonna cost you way too much to do this. Like one, you're running a server to send email and you're paying $15 a month for it, right? So I think that you will, as you build these applications, and you'll start to figure out where you need to reach for a serverless function in that specific use case. So there's definitely, I definitely see that we'll probably be sitting at this conference in 4 years, and someone's gonna have a talk called like unspiderwebbing your serverless functions.
Yeah.
You know? What do you think?
Yeah. I think you covered all the points.
All right.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay, sorry. So do you plan, guys, to have a course maybe together with Boss and Scott?
Oh, of course, together. We've never talked about it before. Maybe at some point.
We could do one where I say a sentence.
And I say a sentence. There we go. What do you want to learn from us? Like,
we could both
dancing
be control-
and barbecue?
No, we could both be controlling the mouse via the internet, so the mouse is like always like fighting where it's going.
It would be a fun YouTube video if we just tried to like build something together.
Yeah.
That would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
So maybe...
A lot of libraries in the last 5 years have been promoting this component-based, you know, design and that kind of stuff. How do you guys think Big W, Big C web components are going to fit into that in starting now? What do you think about them, and how do you think the future is going to be?
Yeah, this one's kind of a little spicy topic.
Yeah.
and with spicy topics, I always like to take the sort of middle approach here in this kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I'm in a wait and see kind of mode personally. Mm-hmm. I like that they're working with libraries like React and to maybe borrow ideas or talk about ideas. And I think that's really what it comes down to is like sharing the ideas and figuring out what these things, like the best approach to them is. That way they don't just create something that just gets like, okay, that's great. All right, you go back here and just stand over there. The photo's over here and like everyone, all the web frameworks are smiling, laughing, having a good time. And
yeah.
Web components are over there. But no, I don't know. I'm a wait and see kind of guy. We'll see what happens. And I don't know. I've used web components with Polymer before, and I like it, but I'm not reaching for it right now. So we'll see. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never used it before, and it's one of those things where I'll just sit on my hands, wait for it to come out, and then give it a shot. And I think that's where probably a lot of you should be as well. Is it's sometimes a little bit stressful to keep yourself on the edge and be learning about all these new things and be involved in the process. And it's important to be involved in the process, but at a certain point, you just kind of just sit on your hands and wait for it to be finished and see how that works.
Yeah, let it mature a little bit, the space, yeah.
Totally. What? Support and everything's a bitch, she says.
It's a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, my laptop went to sleep.
That's good. It's kind of a nice little background there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What we got here?
We got six minutes.
Look at this thing here. Like, this is an actual box that counts down from an hour. And it, like, how much does that cost?
Is there
you
a
could
bomb
build a web
it?
App
it
that would do
like,
that.
There's like a red light.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried.
Literally, could have coded that sucker in 10 minutes. That's cool. A couple more questions and we'll wrap it up. Maybe two more. Yeah.
Yeah, so what's your least favorite jam, like in the spread, not the operator, like on the bread? The least favorite.
Least favorite jam.
Least favorite jam in the...
Yeah. Well, this is funny. I'm going to say, like, what is it? Like, orange, but like, or is it tangerine or something? But like, it's not good. I like oranges and tangerines, but like, if there's like tangerine, there's raspberry, and there's like boysenberry, I'm probably going to reach for the other ones.
Yeah. My neighbor gave me one that was like really tart. I don't know what it was called, but it was some sort of red berry. But I hope you weren't asking which companies we don't like and what actual jams we like. All right, last one, or? Who's got the?
I have a mic if it's on.
Who are you?
We got 5 minutes, so
we can do a couple more.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. What would be your go-to for a headless CMS in your Jamstack?
Oh. What's the sponsors here?
Yeah.
Chucky.
My go-to would be a combination of, I don't know.
Yeah, I just grab a little Capsy, a little MLAB, Contentful, GitHub, mix them all up.
Yeah, Nullify CMS.
They all talk to each other.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
No, that's a great question. I'm still really holding out for headless WordPress. I know that we saw some graphs saying it's going down, but I know that there's literally millions of WordPress developers out there who are good at writing PHP, who are good at writing all of the hooks, who are comfortable. All of their content is in it. Their clients absolutely love the interface that's there. So I haven't used it yet. I'm looking at it right now because I'm going to redesign my own website. I'm looking at what are all the different available options that we'll have. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I honestly have no good answer for this other than that I the headless sites that I've built have all been headless WordPress, but only because the client already had a WordPress install, and it's like, oh, we can throw Gatsby on top of that, and you already have all of the content and everything in there. So for me, again, yeah, I mean, like, WordPress is there, and so many people use it, and so many content editors use it. Like, I think that's a big thing, is matching the backend experience of WordPress to the point where you could have somebody who's never picked up one of these things, pick it up and log in and edit it and manage it like they would a WordPress site and be comfortable. Because I even know, like, passing some Drupal sites off to WordPress people, they'd be like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's also the downside to WordPress is that the backend interface for the current, like, WordPress.org is still built in PHP. And if you want to build, like, custom stuff, you either got to reach for jQuery or you got to, like, build a React component. And some of these CMSs are built like React first, so that you can just take a React component and drop it in and start to build your own custom backend inputs, right? Because we've all been in that situation where the WordPress inputs are just a nightmare to use because it's just a drop down with 40,000 blog posts in it or something like that.
Yeah, I also want to say that it's a space that's like growing so much.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so exciting to me. We were just both talking about how awesome it is. The space is just getting larger and better and better. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, this, again, the space is only room to grow.
Yeah, I'm happy that there are lots of people working on this whole CMS thing right now.
They're all my favorites. Yeah. Yeah.
So, how do we do? Are we invited back next year? Any other questions?
Yeah, we got time for, I think, one more.
We got 2 minutes, according to this $100 black box here. Oh, it's yellow now.
Uh-oh. Oh. We got, Sean's got one. Right there. Oh, you were, like, right in the light. It's like, can't see anything.
You look like an angel right now.
Thank you. You guys tend to agree a lot. What is the biggest technical thing you guys disagree on?
What is it? The Meteor.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. We even agree what we don't agree on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not because I don't like Meteor. It's just that my own stack has always been a custom cooked Express stack, and Scott's stack has always been a Meteor one.
I, in my opinion, I feel like people dropped Meteor after when it first came out. It was all real time, and there was no NPM support and all this stuff like that. And what they don't realize is, like, now you can fire up a Meteor site, and it's just like any other node platform. And it's basically, Meteor is almost essentially like a glorified build tool with accounts and database support baked in. So, like, for me, if I'm even starting like an Apollo-based site or a React site or whatever, I can get like an Apollo server set up with like two lines of code. I can get server-side rendering, I can get code splitting, and as a build tool, it's awesome. So I think people have the like a wrong idea of what Meteor is, and so who knows if it will ever recover from that misconception, and who knows, I still love working in it, and I know you haven't worked in it, so maybe that's
I think that's also what makes it a good podcast as well, is that we both aren't very like overly opinionated about things. Like, we'll talk about our thoughts on things if it's underrated or overrated, but like, if you disagree, that's fine, I don't care.
Yeah,
right. So
I'm like chilling right now. Yeah, I mean, I think that's
totally,
yeah, that's, I think that is very much accurate.
Well, the box is beeping red. So
beeping red. If that was an interface with sound, it might be actually beeping.
Exactly. So thanks so much for coming out. This is really fun to do. I brought a whole whack of stickers. I'll be in the hallway after I go grab them. If you want to come say hi, I'd love to meet all of you. Hey. That's it. Yeah.
Both of my favorites.
A little more applause, I think, for Wes Boss and Scott Tolinsky. Thank you, gentlemen.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.